Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Nora. Right. So something shifted this week. Not in the usual way with announcements and demos, but in the quiet way things actually change when nobody's watching the press releases. Humanoid robots are shipping, not to labs, not to test facilities, to actual workplaces and homes. And buried inside one of the biggest AI breakthroughs of the year is a secret that's been hiding in plain sight. Let's talk about it. Okay, so this first one properly surprised me. Realbotix just delivered a humanoid robot called Vinci to Ericsson. This isn't a prototype, it's in production. Face recognition, conversation memory, real-time engagement tracking. It remembers who you are and what you talked about last time. And it's not alone. UniX AI just unveiled Panther for household deployment. IHMC revealed Alex for dangerous environments. Three different companies, three different use cases, all happening right now. Here's what I keep coming back to. The gap between what robots can do in the lab and what they're actually doing in offices, homes, and hazardous sites has collapsed faster than anyone predicted. Because the bottleneck was never the hardware. It was never even the AI itself. It was the integration. Teaching robots to work alongside humans in messy, unpredictable spaces. That problem is being solved in real time. And this is where it gets interesting. The Robot Report just published an analysis of regulations for robots in public spaces. And here's the thing. The rules vary by city. Responsibilities are unclear. The legal and safety framework hasn't caught up to the deployment curve. What that means in practice? Businesses deploying humanoids right now are walking into regulatory uncertainty. If something goes wrong, who's liable? The manufacturer, the operator, the AI provider? Nobody knows yet. The takeaway. If you're in operations, logistics, or asset management, this isn't a future conversation. It's a current one. The robots are here. The rules aren't. Worth thinking about for your own setup, right? Right. So completely different corner of the tech world now, but stay with me because this one connects. Gary Marcus published something this week that reframes the entire AI debate. Claude Code isn't winning because it's a bigger LLM. It's winning because Anthropic buried a 3,167-line kernel of pure symbolic AI at its center. Pattern matching, conditional logic, deterministic branches, the kind of thing John McCarthy and Marvin Minsky would have recognized instantly. This is neurosymbolic AI, the marriage of neural networks and classical symbolic reasoning that Marcus has been arguing for, loudly, for 25 years. And Anthropic just proved he was right. Now, I wasn't sure about this at first, because the whole point of the LLM revolution was that we didn't need symbolic AI anymore. Just throw enough data at a neural network and it learns everything. But here's what Marcus shows. That approach hits a ceiling. LLMs are brilliant at pattern recognition. They're terrible at logic. They hallucinate. They contradict themselves. They can't reason deterministically. So Anthropic didn't just scale up. They embedded a symbolic reasoning engine inside the neural model. The neural network handles the fuzzy stuff, language understanding, context. The symbolic kernel handles the logic, variable tracking, conditional branching, the stuff that has to be right every single time. And the result, Claude Code doesn't just write code, it writes code that actually works. The big picture here, pure scaling has hit its limits. The next generation of AI systems won't just be bigger neural networks. They'll be hybrid architectures, neurosymbolic, neural for the fuzzy bits, symbolic for the logic. That's a different game entirely, something to think about on the commute home. Okay, this next one is a bit nerdy, but it matters. There's been a lot of noise about Mythos, right? The new AI model that found critical infrastructure vulnerabilities. The headlines made it sound like bigger models equals bigger risk. But researchers this week showed that smaller models found the same vulnerabilities, the exact same exploits, same critical infrastructure weaknesses. So the danger isn't model size, it's intelligent adversarial effort. Here's why that reframes the conversation. We've been treating AI safety like it's about capability thresholds, as if there's a magic line where models suddenly become dangerous. But if small models can find the same exploits as large ones, the line doesn't exist. What actually matters? Who's using the tool? What they're looking for? How much time they have? The takeaway. Systemic risk isn't about controlling model size. It's about monitoring how models are being used. That's a harder problem, but it's the real one. Ask yourself, would your security team spot adversarial probing if it was happening right now? Because the tools to do it are already out there, and they don't require a supercomputer. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. Someone this week shared their entire tech stack for running multiple £10,000 MRR companies. The whole thing costs £20 a month, £20, multiple businesses, five figures, monthly recurring revenue. Now, I know what you're thinking. That can't be right. But here's the breakdown. Static hosting, serverless functions, open source tools, no fancy infrastructure, no venture-backed platforms. Just the bare essentials, deployed intelligently. and this directly challenges something I've been hearing a lot lately, that you need expensive infrastructure to scale, that you can't compete without enterprise-grade tools, but the evidence says otherwise. Small teams with lean stacks are shipping faster and scaling further than over-engineered operations burning cash on infrastructure they don't need. The thing to remember, complexity is a cost, not just in money, in maintenance, in cognitive load, in speed. Simpler systems ship faster, they break less, they cost less to run. If you're building something right now, have a think about what you actually need versus what you think you need. The gap might be bigger than you realize. Last one, and this is the good stuff. Researchers at Barclay just exposed how AI agent benchmarks can be gamed, or worse, how they measure the wrong things entirely. Here's the problem. Existing evals don't validate what matters in production. A model can ace a benchmark and still fail catastrophically in the real world. Why? Because benchmarks test isolated capabilities. Production requires integration, context switching, error recovery, the messy stuff that doesn't fit neatly into a test. So if you're a builder relying on benchmark scores to choose your AI tools, you're optimizing for the wrong thing. What actually matters? How does it perform in your specific workflow, with your data, under your constraints? The only way to know that is to test it yourself, in production, with real tasks. Benchmarks are a starting point, not a decision, worth having a conversation about with your team this week. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. 4 years into the AI boom, the really hard problems are starting to crack open. Humanoids in enterprise settings, neurosymbolic architectures proving that pure scaling isn't enough, fresh clarity on what actually creates risk. The pattern? Integration beats scale, hybrid approaches beat pure approaches, and the gap between what works in demos and what works in reality is closing fast. If there's one thread running through everything today, it's this. The next wave isn't about bigger models or fancier hardware. It's about smarter integration, combining the right tools in the right ways for the right problems. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.